Great, thank you. Some people are called to be preachers. I'm not one of them. might have been called today. But today what I'm going to do is simply tell the story of how I ended up going out to the United Arab Emirates and what God, more importantly, what God was doing in me throughout that journey. I hope at least some of what I share resonates with at least some of you. If not, then just enjoy the story. But I do feel that the testimony that I'm sharing today is very much for us as a church now. It's been really interesting hearing what Becky said. Some of what I preach will resonate from Exodus. It was interesting what Richard prayed and what Helen said. The messages that have been coming through this meeting already are already in here, some of them. So as I say, I pray that you'll gain something from God from what I'm sharing. If not, please enjoy the photographs. You have no idea how long it took to get that camel to stand still, I'm telling you. And wiping the spit off. That's not one of my photographs, and that's not my camel. Two strap lines. Letting God be God, with the spit in the brackets, getting myself out of the way. Because an awful lot of this will be about what God's been telling me, and it'll be about Ian. But I do pray that actually some of it you'll think, ooh, yeah, that rings a bell. And also learning that God provides enough. We don't have to do it for God. God will do it. And it was interesting when before the break, when we were praying for the girls that are going abroad, God will provide, because he always does. So, let's find out whether the technology works. And you may have noticed, I've got all those pedals. Not one of them worked today. Perhaps I need some more. So, a couple of scriptures just to place it in biblical context. First of all, Psalm 46:10 from the Amplified Version. And remember, this stuff has been growing far longer than we have been being still and knowing that I'm God. So, first of all, the Amplified Version. Be still, recognize and understand that I am God. And secondly, Exodus, the Israelites ate manna for 40 years. So those are two key scriptures that have been speaking to me. So a little bit about background for me. You're thinking, who's that young bloke on the left with the yellow hat on? That was what I looked like when I had when I didn't have grey hair. And next to me is another Ian, because the story that I'm going to tell you today starts probably back in Sussex, when Alison and I moved to Sussex for the second time. When we were first married, Alison was already working in East Sussex in Lewes. And I moved to Sussex and started in a brand new school in Peacehaven. We then came back to Bradley Stoke. Mikey was born, Hannah was born. And we then went back to Sussex because at that time, that was what we thought was the right thing to do. Turned out it wasn't, but it was the right thing for then. I thought we would go in there and stay in there. God had other plans. So we went to Sussex, and I was the head of a brand new school. And there it is, still under construction. We had the previous school had been knocked down. We moved all the kids up onto the football field, put some porta cabins there, paved the central area, called it the plaza. And this school was built. This is Southdown Junior School in New Haven. Alison and I had just become Christians at that point. So we came to know Christ in our early 30s. I've always been an ethnic Christian. You know, if I was going to tick the box, Christian, Muslim, Jew, whatever, I'd tick the Christian box. And Mum and Dad, who are here, they sent me to Sunday school. Okay, I don't think my brother or sister went to Sunday school. I can't remember, Mum. But I went to Sunday school. And I learned all sorts of stories there. But I just went for fun. Okay, but I came to know Jesus as my personal saviour in my early 30s. And it happened just before we both went to Sussex. I've always been in education. So through school as a pupil to college to train and then straight into work. No gap years at that point. Note. So I've always been in education. I became a head quite young. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing is open to debate, but I became head quite young. I did a short stint over in Downend, just round the corner at Christ Church Junior School, just for a term. And then I went to Sussex, and Alison and I moved down together after a while. We couldn't sell the house to begin with. But anyway, there we are in East Sussex with me and Ian Everest, the Chair of Governors. So loads of lovely kids, all junior age children. So I can remember a conversation I had with my dad when I said to him, "Dad, we're going to move back to Bristol." And I'm sure that part of it pleased Alison's mum and dad. I bet it pleased my mum and dad, because their only grandchildren at that point were Mikey and Hannah. Okay, so we're coming back. So Dad and I went round and we visited Begbrook Primary School round the corner, as it was then. Yeah, it really was as horrible as that. So it was built towards the end of the war, so it looks like wards from French A Hospital, and there's a reason for that. French A was a specialist burns unit, and there was great fear during the war that there would be incendiary bombs dropped on Bristol and there would be huge numbers of casualties that needed treatment for burns. So they built an extension to French A Hospital at Begbrook. So it's built like wards. So you have long corridors that you can put trolleys down, and then wards off sideways. They were built to last 10 years. So single skin of bricks, no insulation, no damp course under the floor, which means if you're five and you're sitting on the floor, your bum gets wet slowly. Because it's damp. There is no damp course to protect you. It was just to see us through the war. Then the government came up with an idea. The Hutted Organisation for the Raising of School Age, HORSA, HORSA. So they built lots of HORSA buildings like that, all over the country. It's what the prefabs in Southmead were built like. Okay, so I'm going for an interview. Me and Dad came up on a Sunday. I don't know whether Dad can even remember, but we drove round on a Sunday. And we walked around and he went, "You're leaving that for that." And it was case, "Dad, I just think it's right." And as always, Mum and Dad always backed us. So I'm in this pile of rubbish. The governing body had been trying to get that building replaced for decades. It was 54 years old when I went there, and it was supposed to last 10 years. So it was already nearly 45 years old and should have been gone. Anyway, that's the new one from the air. I've got another photograph, actually. That's the best photograph I could take of the new Begbrook, but it's a terrible photograph and doesn't do it justice. So I went back to Google Earth. You can see that lovely brand new school that was built. I got the building written off through careful monitoring and use of data. There we go. I'm not going into any more detail because this is being recorded. But I was blessed within a couple of years with the replacement of that horrible Horsa building that got damp with this lovely new two-form entry primary school with nursery, which some of you who live around here, you'll know Begbrook because you'll have walked past it. I managed to persuade the local authority to replace it in a way that they had no choice other than to replace it. It would have been really easy, if I'd been that way inclined, to rub their noses in it with 45 years worth of children have been through that old building, it's a disgrace. But I chose not to do that. The Chair of Governors and I chose to go to Radio Bristol and agreed to do a live interview once the money had been granted by the council as a surprise to replace the school, because it wasn't in the plans, okay? The best thing about going live is that they can't edit you. So we talked about the partnership with the local authority and about how supportive they were being to provide a new environment for the children of Begbrook. It was all true. The bit I didn't say was, and they had no choice. It didn't need saying. Sometimes there's wisdom in what you don't say, as well as wisdom in what you do say. A couple of years after that, I hit a bit of a black spot where I ended up becoming ill, and I had a virus I just could not get rid of. No amount of prayer, nothing was sorting. Effectively, it became what I think is called chronic fatigue. I just couldn't get over the virus I had. I had about 6 months off work. Walking around the block was beyond me. And out of the blue, I got offered the chance to go and work with the local authority on a secondment. So, Ian, you'll still be ahead, but we'll take you out of your school, because what we want, what we got to do, we got to build loads of new schools, and we've got to expand loads of schools, because we've got nowhere near enough school places across the city. How do you fancy that? I'm thinking, sounds like fun. So I went and met the boss and took up the job on a 2-year secondment initially. So the plus for that is I remain a head teacher. I'm paid as a head teacher. My head teacher's pension keeps growing and all this sort of stuff like that. But I then went to work with the local authority for 2 years. Now, that job became a 7-year programme of providing an extra 8,000 primary school places across Bristol. Bristol had the second largest growth in pupil numbers outside of 2 inner London boroughs. There were 2 boroughs in London that had a faster growth rate. Bristol was the next one after them. So we provided 8,000 new primary school places in places like that. Some of you may know Avonvale Road, where the old social services offices were. It was an old Victorian school, actually, with a boys' school and a girls' school. That's on top of it now. So that's one of the new ones that we built. Most of our schemes were expanding the schools that were there already. So schools were having to run their schools at the same time as a building scheme on site. You can imagine the health and safety issues with all of that. And also the schools needed to continue to focus on the day job, which was teaching and learning and raising standards for those students. So my role was to help them focus on what they should be focusing on by picking up lots of the building stuff. So that was my role, really. And of course, by then, I'd been head teacher of 2 schools that had been completely rebuilt around me. And I got involved with the schemes because I can't keep my fingers out, and enjoyed it. I knew that job was a gift from God. There's no other way of describing it. I didn't apply for it. It came out of the blue at precisely the time I needed something, because medical people would not let me go back to my headship at Bedbrook. They said, Ian, it'll kill you. You're not going back. But I want to go back. What else can I do? No, Ian, you can't do it. And then out of the blue, this offer came that turned into a 7-year job. I loved being a head teacher, but I'm telling you what, the fun I had in the next 7 years, absolutely marvellous. And those of you who've known me for the last 8 years, in fact, longer than that, you'll probably have noticed the difference in me from when I was a head teacher and when I was doing all the building stuff. I think myself, probably the last person to notice it, but I bet people around me noticed. I'm sort of expecting Alison to nod her head. I became self-employed. After the 2-year secondment finished, I had to take the risk of becoming self-employed, which means you take all the risks yourself. So there's no sick pay, there's no holiday pay, there's no anything. So I worked effectively as a consultant. But when a consultant is working 5 days a week every week, it's a real financial blessing. You earn well. And that saw us through a time when both Mikey and Hannah needed to go through university. And those of you who have kids who've done that, you know that that is no cheap ride. They haven't got a way of funding themselves, so you have to help them out. And we got Lily to go in September as well. But the financial blessing whilst I'm in this 7-year role with Bristol was phenomenal. Alison and I reached 50, and we had our 25th wedding anniversary while I was working on all the Bristol stuff. And we were able to take the 2 of us and Lily and Hannah and Mikey away for a family holiday of a lifetime. We wouldn't have been able to do it if it wasn't for the financial blessing that had come through during that window. There was only the one opportunity to go and do that while Mikey was still at home, while Hannah was still around, and while Lily was at home. There was one little window. Probably it could only have been done in 1 year, and we were able to do it. So we had this wonderful holiday in Antigua. The timing was perfect, as I said. My health started to recover because I wasn't under the strain that head teaching tends to put on people. It was the perfect job for me, in as much as I had the skills through experience and was able, and because I also knew most of the senior leadership teams across Bristol, I'd been a head in Bristol for 10 years by then, I knew nearly all of them personally. I had a credibility, if you like, when I was going out and persuading them that the data really is true. We are really short of places, you really do need to expand. And also persuade them that the local authority wouldn't let them down, because there had been occasions previously where head teachers and governing bodies had taken risks and they'd then been let down. So I was able to effectively sell that we really will do it and do it properly. So I was the right bloke for the job because I knew everybody. And I think at heart, I am a salesman, if I'm honest. I remember a deputy head's interview, a guy that I saw for lunch only a couple of days ago, actually. He said to me, "If you don't mind me saying, Mr. Purnell, you seem like a used car salesman." And I said, "Okay, would you have bought a car from me?" And he went, "Do you know, I think I probably would have." I ended up getting the job and became very close to Alan as we worked together. And so I recognise, you know, in a sense, I am a salesman at heart, I think, if you have to put your finger on what you really are at heart, even though I'm not in sales. I think I'm a salesman at heart. So we had this time of plenty. We had a 7-year period where, between us, we were earning more than enough as a family. So it blessed all of us. The emotional blessing is really that God was really kind to me during all that, because I have to say we started here, but it's always been the case that I've tended to be very self-reliant. I tend to solve problems myself. I tend not to go to God until there's a problem. And I don't know whether that resonates with some of you, but you know, we know seek first the kingdom of God. We know that, okay, but do we do it? No, Ian can sort it, I'll sort it. And for 7 years, I was sorting it. Okay? So God was really kind to me, because he could have gone, "That ain't the way I want you to do it," you know. But no, 7 years of enjoy it. I knew this season also was coming to an end. I knew it would only last as long as there was a shortage of places, and we could see from the numbers that would come to an end after about 7 years. It would also come to an end when my protector, a man that Lily called Bowing Bob — I was hoping Bob might be here, but he's away on a rally somewhere. He's retired now, but he runs car rallies. Bangers, you know, old cars. He calls them classic cars, but think really old cars that splutter and grunt and pollute the atmosphere like nothing on earth. But Bowing Bob, because he would, every time he'd come in, he'd bow and he'd kiss the hand of Lily or Hannah or Alison. So Bowing Bob was, I knew Bowing Bob was going to retire. Bob remained an extra year because he knew he was protecting me. So, the 7 years comes to an end. Bob retires. We have a great send-off for me and for him and what have you. And people say lovely things about what we're doing. So I'm then thinking, okay, so what's next? What's next? Because all I'm equipped for is head teaching. And I don't want to do that anymore. And also, to be honest, I'd become de-skilled for 7 years. Okay, the sort of job that I was in Bristol had been created for me. There isn't another one like it in the country. So I can't apply to other jobs where local authorities employ an ex-head teacher who knows about buildings to be the link between the buildings and the school. They tend to use their own people who aren't head teachers. They're usually people like Bob, surveyors by trade. Okay, so it was a case of, so what do I do next? Ooh, scratch the head time. Then you're reminded of what people have said to you. So Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the plans, you know, I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." We all know that scripture. It's a favorite scripture to many of us. But living it isn't easy. Because all of a sudden, I'm unemployed with no apparent way forward. So loads of doors. Some of them I don't want to push at. Some of them you push at but don't open. Some of them you push at, they do open, and it doesn't turn out to be what you thought it was going to be. So I'm having to push at doors. Now, towards the end of the 7 years, I'd become involved in a few things. So academy conversions were happening. So I became a little, not an expert, I became skilled up in what academy conversion looks like. I actually did some consultancy helping a brand new academy trust grow from one school, which was the picture that you saw there is Educate Redfield Educate Together, one of my favourite buildings that we built. So I actually did some work with Educate Together because I got to know the chief exec and helped them now to grow to three schools ready to open this September. So there's a brand new one at the Fry's Chocolate Factory in Keynsham, which is an Educate Together school, and a brand new one at Locking Parklands in Weston-super-Mare. So I did some consultancy work with them, helping them persuade the government that it's Educate Together who should be running these schools, because you can imagine there's lots of competition for running brand new schools. This is where new housing is going up on green fields. So, of course, you need shops, you need schools. I also got involved with a little bit of work for Skanska, who were the construction company that did most of the building for Bristol. So a guy from Skanska would bring me in to help with specific things. Priority Schools Building Programme, you may have heard about, is run by the Education Funding Agency. It's where they've identified the worst conditioned schools all across the country. So I've done a little bit of work for them. But this was all tiny little bits of work, none of which you could rely on, and none of which were bringing in anywhere near what we need financially to keep our heads above water. So I, at that point, 8 months with very, very little work, thinking, which door should I be pushing at, Lord? Which door should I be pushing at, Lord? Show me which door. And then you get a great big... Come on, Lord, now would be good. Because... I am not going to make comments about how often I am waiting for Alison. I am not going to say that I do not wait for her all the time. There are times when I'm asleep. So, waiting on God... You can work that out yourself. Waiting on God, waiting for God. I was waiting for God to do something. Come on, God, I'm waiting. I'm still waiting. Come on, God. Come on, God. Come on, God. What God wanted me to do was wait on him, to be still and know that he's God, rather than try and solve the problems myself, because I'm pushing at all these doors. I don't know which doors are the right ones to push at. I'm trusting my spiritual gut reaction, let's say. I'm asking for guidance, but I'm unsure what I'm doing. So I'm waiting for God because I'm being Mr. Impatient. And those of you that know me know that that's a default position a lot of the time for me. Lots of you, including myself, we have a word for this year. We were encouraged to find one word, and mine is trust. And those of you also that know me know that in the beginning I said, I'm not doing that, because I don't like being told what to do. Trouble is, sometimes what you're told to do is the right thing. Okay, so it was suggested to us. We were never told to do it. Okay, but I thought, okay, God, I'm going to use the word trust because I need to learn to trust God more. Because actually what I was starting to learn was Ian can't solve this. So I'm having to learn to wait on God, not for God. So I'm starting to realise that trust is my word. I'm looking for direction. I typed into Google search manna from heaven. So this is supposed to be a picture of one of the Israelites leaning down to pick up manna, which is that white fluffy stuff. It's 12 months now, and during the 12 months where I've had very little work, okay, God's always provided us enough. Sometimes there have been gifts that have come in from around. And the gifts have always come at the right time. We've learned to live more frugally. What it made me realise was how much money I'd wasted in the times of plenty. And I don't include all those pedals in that, right? He says, and then God's going, really? Sorry. So you can see how this year is developing where I particularly am learning how to rely on God more and more and more, because what I can do myself is declining, okay? And it's tough. It's tough to stay motivated. It's tough to stay positive. It's tough to stay hopeful. But there would be regularly little things that would happen that if I'm, for whatever reason, feeling, somebody or something would bring me back up. And it might be family, it might be church family, it might be something I read. Okay, and as you know, I've been working my way through the Bible in a year, every year now for the last 3 years. And this year I'm using the Message version, which is a very sort of colloquial Americanized version of the Bible, but it's in chatty language. And although some of it, I prefer the NIV or the other translations, sometimes what I read in my daily readings helps me hugely. So I'm then thinking about Moses, about Exodus, and Moses did what God told him. God told Moses, I'm going to take everybody out of Egypt and you're going to go and talk to Pharaoh. And Moses is going, please not me, I'm no good at this, I can't do that. Which is what I was feeling when I was looking at lots of jobs. You see all these jobs advertised, you type in the word education consultant and all these wonderful opportunities come up, none of which I can do. None of which I can do. And I can't do that. I can't do that. Which is what Moses told God. Again and again and again and again. God was so patient with Moses. But God, when God took the Israelites out of Egypt, they were all stroppy and moany all the time. And God then provided them enough to eat every day. So he sent manna from heaven daily and told them, don't put any by for tomorrow, because I'm going to send some fresh manna tomorrow. But many of the Israelites didn't believe God, so they would store enough for today and eat it, and then they put some by for tomorrow, and then what they would find is tomorrow it had rotted. Because what they weren't doing was trusting that God would provide. Would provide enough. They wanted more, so they put it aside. So I was having to learn what enough looked like. So we're having to do things differently at times, having to see things, having to think about things differently. The Israelites, most of them, they were still slaves in the mind. They'd left Egypt physically, but they were still in the mentality of what it was like in Egypt, because they always had plenty there. They were slaves, but they had their own homes and they had everything they wanted. And I've just got to acknowledge here that The preaching of Danielle Strickland from last year's New Wine, the five preaches that she did, I have gone back to again and again and again. Because like when you find a stream of gold, when you're mining and you come across a vein of gold, it may be very thin, but very, very valuable. And I've been chipping away at that vein again and again and again through this year. So I need to acknowledge that what Danielle Strickland was talking about Exodus. If you haven't listened to those, they're available on the church website, I think. But they are absolute gold dust. They were for me. So the Israelites, they've still got this mentality of what they were used to in times of plenty. That was where I was. I wanted all the problems solved like they were last time when I was earning good money and we had more than enough. God's going, no, you need to learn what enough looks like. And as I've said, when the going gets tough, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. It's not true. When the going gets tough, your mates tend to step in, is what I've found. And things like the value of having somebody with whom you can pray, somebody who will encourage you, not by telling you what you want to hear, but telling you what they think God wants you to hear. There's a big difference. And there are a number of people sitting in this room and not in this room who encourage me regularly. Kept reminding me where my eyes should be looking. And in a sense, where perhaps they shouldn't be looking. It's easy to lose heart. And I lost heart regularly. And I'm still losing heart regularly. But something will... I'm trying to be really real here, folks. But through all of it, We have to be still. We have to know God's God. We have to know that he is the ultimate provider of everything. Out of the blue, I have Twitter. I hate social media, okay? But I follow Twitter, and every now and again something interesting comes up. And I saw a tweet from a group called, from an international company called Tribal. They were putting together a team of a small group of education specialists. I'm thinking, well, I'm so specialist, there's only one job like mine in the whole world. So it literally said, send us your CV and a one-liner. No great big letter of application. I think, great, this is my sort of application. So I sent off my CV. Hi, my name's Ian. I've done this and this and this, because you've only, you know, a tweet, you can only, is it, I don't know how many characters, 80 characters, about that long. I managed to squeeze into one tweet my name and the fact that I've been involved with school expansions, and here's my CV. So I sent off my CV, and I was stunned when I got a phone call, or an email rather. Can you give us a call? Because we'd like an informal chat with you. No such thing as an informal chat from an employer, is there? So you had the suit, tie, and went in and had the informal chat, which was three of the managing directors and a pot of coffee. I got taken on, one of the 11. And I'm thinking, crikey, now what? Because I don't know what I can do. So then the whole team was introduced to one another. And there are people from, you know, Manchester, Grimsby, one from Ireland somewhere, and me from Bristol, in fact, two from Bristol. I'm sat around this table, and there's 11 of us, okay, with all the senior MDs and all this. And 11 of them, 10 of them are all in school improvement. So they go, they do inspections, they go in and they help schools improve. And I'm thinking, what am I doing here? I haven't done any of that. So I had a word with the MD at the end of it. I said, what am I doing here? She said, what do you mean? I said, well, they're all experienced in school improvement. The only school improvement I've done is in my own school. I haven't done it anywhere else. She said, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why we want you. They're all the same. Viva la difference. So that encouraged me. Now, the work that I was expecting to get from that was 2 days a week, but it never turned into 2 days a week. I've had very little work from that because there's very little work out there. So I'm still self-employed, and the anticipation of 2 days a week, thinking that'll be a really good basis to work from, it never materialised. However, Tribal then win a big contract with the United Arab Emirates government, where seven Emirates are now joined together and are called the United Arab Emirates, and they've now introduced one education system for all of those seven Emirates, and they wanted some people to go out and inspect schools whilst they start to get used to a completely new curriculum. And I'm thinking, great, but I haven't done any inspection. So I had a word and said, would you even consider me? And they went, yeah, come on Ian, just express an interest. And crikey, so I did. So if you want to personalise it, think about something that is related to what you do at the moment, but is so far outside your experience, your first reaction would be, I can't do that. Because that was what it felt like for me. So, now I've got a problem. Because I do get accepted to go out to the United Arab Emirates. They had a 6-week contract for the first one. And I made myself available for all 6 weeks because I thought, if I'm going to learn something new, I'm going to need loads of practice. So I'd never inspected before. I knew nothing about the United Arab Emirates. I don't speak or read Arabic. I'm encouraged that the skills I've got are transferable. You're thinking, that's fine for you. You're not the one out there. So again, sounded a bit like Moses, really. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. And God went, yeah, you can, because I'm going to be there with you. And that's the bit that spoke to me. I'm not going to go out on my own, so I'm going to need to take God with me. I bet you sometimes I've talked myself out of things at times, and I wonder whether that resonates with any of you, where you have an opportunity and you think, oh, no, I can't do that, oh, I shouldn't do that. So you talk yourself out of it. I could have talked myself out of this. Oh, I can't do this. I'm not available. But I thought, I'll give it a go. And the only way I can give it a go is by letting God take over. And I had this sense of God going, at last! It's taken me all this time to get you to listen. Because those of you that know me, you know that I'm used to solving problems myself. You know, I get on and I sort things out most of the time. And if I fail, I'll then go and ask somebody else to help. And that usually works. And God's going, no, I want you to let me do it in you. For the first time. So, I'm having to prepare to travel to the United Arab Emirates. Okay, so I'm doing all the what ifs. What if this? What if that? What if? So, shave gel. Better take one of them. Shower gel. Better take one of them too. Shoes. Right. Pair of flip-flops. Yeah, because it's going to be hot. Pair of black shoes. Pair of brown shoes. Yeah. Trousers. How many business shirts? Ooh. Well, we're in school 4 days at a time, so better take six. So going through all that process, and anyway, you can see the case is full. I'm covering all bases just in case, and there is no intentional pun on the word case. I'm trying to cover every base with my planning and my preparation, and I'm still thinking, but bottom line is, when I get into school, I can't do this because I haven't got a clue. I don't know where to start. But God provided me manna. He gave me just what I needed every day for 6 weeks. And interestingly, I started to get into some new habits. First of all, instead of talking to God, I was consciously speaking to the Holy Spirit. Because God feels, to me at that time, God felt like he's over there and he's big and he's the boss. And yet the Holy Spirit is what I'm told I've got inside me. When I was born again, I believe the Holy Spirit came to live in here. And I think he's been shouting in there for years. Ian, Ian, let me in. So I consciously, first habit, I consciously started praying and speaking with the Holy Spirit, not with God, not with Jesus. Now I know they're all the same. But it felt relevant at that time for me to be speaking with the Holy Spirit, to get to know the Holy Spirit. You see, the Israelites, they were in the desert for 40 years. I was only going to the desert for 6 weeks, really. But they were in there for 40 years. Why 40 years? Because they just would not get it. They just wouldn't get it that they needed to trust God and follow him and obey him. They wanted to do it all their own way all the time. You know, back in Egypt we had pots of meat, we had loads of food. Now we're out here to die. We would have been better off staying in Egypt and dying there. And God's thinking, no, I've set you free. But they weren't free at all. And you know, Danielle Strickland's preaches take you through it in minute detail wonderfully. They were not free in their minds. And I think what was happening was I was starting to free my mind for the first time. So, talk about a leap of faith. I went in one of the biggest planes on the planet. It had an upstairs and a downstairs. It was huge. No turning back. Stomach churning, I've written in my notes here, because I think that was about it. It had nothing to do with air sickness. But it was a huge leap of faith. So I then arrive. I knew that God had given me this opportunity. So I also knew that he would help me. I didn't know how he would help, but I knew that I would be helped. If you remember, you guys prayed for me before I went out. We were at Ed and Sue's. So I was sent out with the blessing of the church family. And Pastor Richard suggested three targets while I was out there. Improved physical health, because I still suffer from the chronic fatigue at times. So improved physical health, improved emotional health. Ian, stop doubting yourself. Have faith in yourself, in God. Stop doubting yourself. And thirdly, improved spiritual health. Ian, get closer to God. So I thought, right, there's three targets. That'll be a good start. So I started to establish these new habits of talking to the Holy Spirit rather than Jesus or God. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The way you think guides everything. So I was trying to change the way I was thinking. So, who's that fat bloke on the bench? Right. Headphone worship. I learnt to start every day with that infinitum life prayer that Danielle Strickland taught us at New Wine. My own interpretation of it may be different from Danielle's, but it had three stages. I think she started with her hands like that, which is, I give up. You know, Lord, I can't do this. I give up. Holy Spirit, come fill me. I didn't tend to do that. I tend to do it like that, like a bowl. So Holy Spirit, come fill me today. This is every day I was doing this. Holy Spirit, fill me. Give me more than enough so that I've got enough to give out to others. And regardless, I praise you, I worship you. So I'd start every day like this. Fortunately, at 6:30 out by the pool, you're the only one there. So with my headphones on, marvellous pair of noise-cancelling headphones. They are the best present I've had for a long time. I know now why we had to spend over £200 on a pair of headphones. Because I needed them out there. It blocks out all noise. And the iPod with worship music on it. So I'd start every day, not necessarily out by the pool, because when I was in schools, we'd be leaving at horrible o'clock in the morning, so I'd be doing this in my room. But started every day with, Holy Spirit, fill me, give me more than enough so that I can give out, and I worship you, whatever. I read a great one-liner, actually. If you're waiting for doors to open, worship in the corridor, which summed it up, really. So, I'm out there. It's 35 degrees at night and it's 42 degrees during the day. That's my desk in one of my hotel rooms, and the yellow arrow is pointing to a card that Pete gave me. Now bear in mind how many months ago this is, and where we are as a church now. Be still and know that I'm God was on that card. Bon voyage. That card went to me, because we'd have 3 days in Dubai, then we'd go out to somewhere like Sharjah, then we'd come back to Dubai, then we'd go out there. 3 days, 4 days away, 3 days Dubai, 4 days away, 3 days Dubai. So I lost count of how many times I changed hotel room and packed and unpacked. In fact, I got to the stage where I didn't unpack, I just left it all in the case. But that card went with me to every hotel room. So if I was forgetting, I got a card there that reminds me. Oops, what's happened, Pete? Oh, cool. Can't get a staff, can you? Just occurred to me, while they're sorting this out, it just occurred to me, because those of you that know how much I love playing my electric guitar, I've invested lots and lots of money. Invested, notice the word. I invested lots of money in all my pedals. None of them would work this morning. It's the first time that's happened. And I think, you see, if you believe in God, you've also got to believe there's an enemy out there as well. And I believe in both. And I think God wants me to share this with all of you. There's an enemy out there that wants to get in the way. So he knows he can mess my head if he messes up all my pedals. Nathan, bless him, is leading worship, and he's thinking, what's that horrible noise coming from my left? Does he say it? No, he keeps going and he leads us through worship regardless of the horrible noises from the end. Because God's always stronger than what the enemy will throw at us. So, oops. Let go, let God. You've got the physical exodus, you've got the mental exodus. So physically, I'm now over in the UAE. So I've done the physical exodus, I've left home. But I am also making sure that I'm having that mental exodus where I'm going into the new land up here that God wants me to learn. I'm freeing myself from the habits of self-reliance. I'm renewing my mind, and I'm going to rapidly go through some of these. It wasn't long before other people were asking me, what are you listening to? It was in our contract that we were not to discuss religion, because we're out in a Muslim country. But people would ask me, what are you listening to? So I'd go, here you go. And I spoke to one lady who was out in the team with me, where she said, oh, it's worship music, that surprises me. I said, yeah, it's great, have a listen. And it was the creed. Okay, so I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. All right. So, she said, yeah, I used to go to church. I'm not a very good Christian, though. And I said, do you know, none of us are. And it led to 4 or 5 weeks of swapping worship songs, because she had a load on her iPod she hadn't listened to for years. So we'd end up sharing songs. I kept a list of answered prayers. That's not my prayer list. That's the list of prayers that have been answered. It doesn't matter what they say. I know the words are far too small. I just think you need to see just how many prayers, individual prayers, were answered while I was out there, because I kept a record of them. I had opportunities to share. That laddie there is Anil, the one in the yellow and red. He reminded me so much of Mikey while I was out there. He's a lifeguard. He's a young lad, same sort of age. So I got to know Anil out there. And there's the first team I was with. I got to know all sorts of lovely new people. Because those of you that know me, you know that I like my own space most of the time. I was learning to be with people and enjoy it. That was the last school that we looked at. Because not only did the Holy Spirit fill me daily with what I needed, he also equipped me to lead the inspection team twice out of 6 weeks. So week 3 and week 6, I actually led the team. Talk about out of the frying pan into the fire. And it went really well. Finishing well. I needed to get back because Lily's 18th birthday party was coming up. And I was leading the last week, so I had the responsibility for the final report and blah, blah, blah. I was happy with it. I thought I'd done a great job. Sent the report off and, Lord, thank you, I finished well. Then I get back to Bristol and I get an email. Ian, there's so much wrong with this report. It needs completely rewriting. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I thought I'd finish well. And he went, yeah, you will. But you haven't finished yet. You haven't finished. I then spent an entire 8 hours from scratch, started the report from the beginning. And you know the tape, 3 steps, stop, worship, 3 more steps, stop, worship. Is it 6 steps?
I was wondering why you were falling behind.
But you know the principle of what I'm saying, where they walked forward a little bit, then they stopped and worshipped. Then they walked forward a little bit more, then they stopped and worshipped. What I did with this report, over 8 hours, in one long stint, I did a bit, stopped, worshipped. Did a bit, stopped, worshipped, did it. What happened at the end of it, after 8 hours, the report was as it should have been. Now you've finished, God said. So I'm hoping to go out again. I've made myself available for end of September through to the end of November. So it's a 9-week stint this time. So I'm going to need you guys to look after Alison and Lily again, if that happens. I'm waiting to hear. But final thoughts, because I realise I've overrun. Richard, apologies. Old habits die hard. That's why they're called habits. I just wonder whether there are habits that you need to move on from. I'm flicking through these quickly. I just wonder whether you're in slavery to the past in some way, whether there's something that either you can't let go of or you can't change. Because you see, some habits and routines are good habits and routines, but God still wants you to leave them behind because he wants to take you somewhere new. Do you recognize what enough looks like? And do you know what it is to completely surrender? And finally, you see, it was my own strengths that were getting in my way. It was the fact that I am a problem solver. I am self-reliant. I am this, I am that. That was the bits that were getting in the way. So are there strengths that actually could become weaknesses if you hold on to them too tightly? In fact, that's a sunrise, apparently. It could be, I think as a church we're coming into something new, it could be that there's a time individually for moving into a promised land in your mind. And again, I apologise for overrunning, Richard, but I hope you've followed the story, and I'm going to finish there. So thank you.